This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
في معجمه بسند حسن عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حديث نايت in the collection of Imam Tabarani within a reasonable chain of narration and it's narrated to us by Ibn Abbas. And obviously today is the second year memory of what occurred in 2021 on that very dark day. And the hadith I'm going to narrate is kind of related to it, or is related to something that we can think about regarding that. Still within the mindfulness of the tongue, honestly, but it's something for us to think about. This is what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and I'll comment on it in a moment. قَالَ لَا يَقِفَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ مَوْقِفًا يُقْتَلُ فِيهِ رَجُلٌ ظُلْمًا إِنَّ اللَّعْنَةَ تَنْزِلُ عَلَى مَنْ حَضَرَ حِينَ لَمْ يَدْفَعُ عَنْهُ ولا يقفن أحدكم موقفا يضرب فيه أحد ظلما إن اللعنة تنزل على من حضر حين لم يدفع عنه. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام is do not stand in a position or a place where someone is being killed unjustly or someone is being beaten or harmed physically unjustly. Because when you do that, the curse of Allah, the لعنة of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descended upon those who stood there and witnessed it and did not say or do anything about it. And this is not only something he taught alayhi salatu wasalam, the Arab knew this before Islam. The Arab knew this before Islam. There's a man by the name of Sa'id ibn Amir al-Jumahi, radiallahu anhu. He became one of the wulah, I mean one of the governors of Hims at one point in his life. And the people of Hims went to Umar ibn al-Khattab and told him that this person should be removed because he seems to have seizures. And he's having these seizures. So he calls Sa'id and he tells him, what's going on? Why do you have seizures? Isn't what he told him. He said, I was there the day they killed Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu. They crucified Khabbab. They took him unjustly, they betrayed him and six other in the Shuhada Yawm al-Raji'ah in the known story. They took six people, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sent to teach them Islam, that's what they said, you want someone to teach them. And then they took them and they killed all of them except Khabbab, they took him to Mecca. And because it was Ashur al-Hurum, they said they can't kill him in Ashur al-Hurum, you have to wait for later selectivity. Anyways, so they held him for a couple of months and then they crucified him and they murdered him brutally in Mecca in front of many people. And before he died, radiallahu anhu, he said, Allahumma ahsihim adada, waqtulhum bidada, wala tubqi minhum ahada. And Allah, he made dua against them before they killed him. And all of Quraysh, when they heard that, they fell to the floor. They're mushrikeen. Why? Because they used to believe that if when someone's being unjustly killed, their dua is accepted, and that dua will hit you if you don't fall to the ground for it to go like a head above your head. Is what they used to believe. Sa'id said, فَكُنْتُ يَوْمَهَا مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَقَعْ فَأَصَابَتْنِي دَعْوَةُ خَبَّابٍ. I didn't do what they did that day, and I was hit by the dua of Khabbab. This was his understanding of it. And he would have seizures till the end of his life, radiallahu anhu. And this is his belief. I don't know if that's, but that was his belief. That was his understanding of what happened. This is something that the Arab understood was a part of life even before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam explained that. So we weren't there when that happened to them. We weren't there. No one was there. But you're in a position where you have the ability to tadfa' anh. Is what they're using, the word he used alayhi salatu wasalam twice. They didn't push back against what happened. We have the ability to push back against what happened to our brothers, to our brother, his wife, his daughter, and his mother. We have the ability to push back. And the istinbat, or the what scholars take away from this hadith, that even if you weren't there as it happened and you didn't push back, if you are later on given the opportunity to push back and you don't, then the same applies. Then the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still applies for those who are given the possibility or the opportunity, sorry, to push back against a dhulm, against an act of oppression that occurred to someone. They had the ability to push back against it and didn't. Then even if it wasn't at the same moment, it still applies to them. And this is something he would teach alayhi salatu wasalam and other, but I want to use this specifically because it's about the tongue. They met fa'anhum and they didn't say something about it. It's the least you can do, and the least we can do, really, is to make sure that what happened to them is not in vain. It's not something that is lost and forgotten about, and nothing comes of it. And their lives and their death were meaningless to this community. That's a very heavy thing. I don't think I can live with that. I don't think any of us should be able to live with that. That this happened to them, and then we said nothing, so nothing changed, and their death was in vain. Nothing occurred. Aside from the fact that remembering them, making dua for them, supporting those whom they left behind. Aside from that, we should come naturally to any community that has any degree of dignity. Any degree of dignity at all within a community, that should happen just by default. We should definitely be able to respect their memory, do something in their name so that they have a sadaqah jariyah, take care of those who come after them and make dua for them. But then, instead of trying to capitalize, we should be very careful from capitalizing on someone's suffering, by the way. And to be very, very careful to use someone's tragedy to further something that we have on our agenda. We have to be very careful of doing that. That's a very I'm very critical of that piece, and I'm very scared of it. I don't like it. We have to make sure that what happened to them is something that is used to defend the whole Muslim ummah within this country or within this part of the world. We're an ummah here. We're an ummah all over the world, and we're an ummah here as well. And if a piece of that ummah was oppressed, then that needs to be leverage for that ummah to defend the rest of it. And that would be a way of honoring their memory as well. A way of honoring their memory is using that to make sure that we prevent something like this from ever happening again, and pushing back that zulm that occurred, and making sure that justice is served for them, and that their memory is honored. It's about them. They lost their lives. They lost their lives. It's not, they didn't lose a game. They weren't sent home, and they're tweeting from, they're gone. They can't speak for themselves. You don't know what Salman feels. You don't know what Madiha's opinion on things are. I don't know what his mother would want to say today. I don't know what Yumna would feel about what we're doing. I don't know. We don't know, because they're not here for them to tell us what they feel and how they perceive what's happening, and whether what we're doing is actually what's making them feel that this is worth their while or not. We don't know that. So we have to be very careful with how we behave with this. And it's something just worthy of contemplation, because 2 years in, we have to really reevaluate what exactly we've been able to achieve. And what exactly have we done with their memory, with what occurred to them? This is I'm very critical. I'm very scared of this. I feel like, we're just adding what happened to them to the list of other tragedies that have happened to the Muslim Ummah. And we'll just when the time comes, we'll talk about it. We'll wait until once a bomb drops on Gaza, I have to get up there and say, "Oh, Gaza for 2 weeks or three until you forget about it." And then a poster comes up. I have to get up and say, "Oh." For a couple of weeks until you forget about it and hope that you move on. Not how you deal with problems. There's no grit in this community. There's no grit. You need grit. You need people who can stick to something. There's a problem. You don't move until the problem is solved. You don't lose steam. You don't lose interest. You don't get lazy. You don't forget about it. You stick to there's a problem. It's not solved yet. What are we doing? Why aren't we completely focused on this until it's solved? Once it's solved, then we can move on to something different. If it's not solved yet, then what's the point? What are we doing? There's something missing. And I think listening to this hadith is scary, it's heavy, it has a word in it. The word la'na is, it's not nice to listen to. But it's there. And that's what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, if I said this myself, you wouldn't be okay with it. Many of you would say that's this and that's that. That's what he said. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Listen to it. يروي الإمام الطبراني بسند حسن عن ابن عباس قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقفن أحدكم موقفا يقتل فيه رجل ظلما فإن اللعنة تنزل على من حضر حين لم يدفعوا عنه ولا يقفن أحدكم موقفا يضرب فيه أحد ظلما فإن اللعنة تنزل على من حضره حين لم يدفعوا عنه صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد